this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, welcome back to Y'allitics. I owe you like a high five, man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say an apology.
No, I don't apologize for anything.
I thought of so many ways that you should be apologizing, but what do you owe me?
You put this whole thing together by yourself. I'm so proud of you.
It's very unusual.
I am so proud of you.
I think this is a first. Does this mark a first?
This is a first. We've been doing this. How old is this podcast? 7 years?
Go back through all the episodes, everybody. I've done like 20 of these by myself because this guy constantly abandons
Before we get to this episode, I have hot off the presses here an update.
Okay.
Actually, I think you set this one up too.
So you did do a little work.
I did do a little work.
Okay.
This is not for this episode. This goes back for another episode. So a few weeks back, maybe a couple months back, we talked about Houston having a homeless court, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you set that one up, actually.
Yeah. I did set that one up.
We called the guy in Houston and we're like, this is incredible. You know, why don't you just start this? He said, it's been going on for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both surprised.
Oh,
about
that. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're either from Houston or lived and worked in Houston for a long time. Well, 2 weeks ago, Dallas announced its own homeless court, and it began on February 13th, and it's running every Thursday until further notice, and essentially does the same thing that Houston is doing. I wonder if Dallas City Hall is listening to Y'allitics.
Of course they are. They're in politics. They're in Texas, and they're interested in topics, and that's what we do.
Well, they might have been just as surprised. It's been going on 20 years in Houston.
I think there was a lot of learning for a lot of folks because this is one of those things that's been sort of quietly going, and it affects a population that, you know, frankly, gets forgotten a lot anyway. And basically what these homeless courts do, if you didn't watch or listen to that episode, is they take care of, you know, infractions that homeless people encounter, and they try to work with them and sort of help them through the process, because what are you going to do? Keep fining somebody who's homeless and issuing court fines that they're never going to pay and never going to be able to get out from under and never be able to improve their lives beyond where they were.
You clear up the court backlog. You help everybody. It's a win-win, is what Houston said. I think Dallas is kind of realizing that as well, too. So congrats, Dallas, and thanks for listening to Y'allitics as well. Huh?
Yeah, and I brought a prop too today.
You did?
To talk about this week's episode, which again I put together all on my own.
I see this.
But
now,
you know, I do money reporting, and so this makes sense.
Hold it up there to the camera.
I'm trying to make it a little bit bigger first. So I pulled up the website for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
That was a federal agency, right?
We don't really know at this point. There you see it, 404, page not found, when you try to go to that website. That sort of explains what's going on with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau right now.
Part of the Doge effort. It's a victim of Doge,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is Trump 2.0, and this agency has been in the crosshairs. It had made some powerful enemies because of the things that it does. It takes on big finance, essentially, on behalf of the, you know, quote-unquote little guy, the consumer out there. And so basically, the Trump administration has moved into this agency and kind of just said, hey, everybody in here, just stop working. From our understanding, people still have the jobs there, but they've just been told, like, just don't do anything right
now. They're still
getting paid? I think they are. It's unclear still, but,
that's a good gig.
The phones still get answered. In some cases, we've heard instances where complaints are still being taken if you call in, but they are not really working on the complaints.
And for people who don't know what the CFPB is, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, it was started right after the 2008 financial crisis, that housing crisis. It became law, I think, in 2011. So it's been around for a decade and a half here.
Yeah, and this is designed to prevent some of the things that we saw as far as consumers getting underwater in the big financial crisis in 2008, being taken advantage of by big financial institutions. It has morphed into a lot of things. It has taken on a lot of things, including, like, has anything ever been wrong with your credit report? If it has, you know that it can be incredibly difficult to get resolution from whoever is reporting bad debt on your credit report, or even to get through to the credit agencies and get them to remove that stuff from your credit report. That is really the biggest thing that the CFPB has handled, in fact. It constitutes the most complaints. Anyway, so as all this was happening, I was interested in, well, what does this mean to Texas, you know? And I started looking at the numbers of complaints over the years, and lo and behold, Texas just is a standout for the number of complaints.
We're big complainers here.
We're big complainers. You know, some of these states have more, you know, safeguards in place and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, they have different, you know, departments that handle some of these things. But, you know, Texans have been turning to the CFPB and going, hey, I need help with this. I'm not getting resolution.
So who are we going to complain to now?
That is the question. And that's a question on a lot of minds across the country right now, because, you know, you have different agencies that do handle complaints. Yeah. Here in Texas, you've got the Attorney General's office. Nationally, you've got the Federal Trade Commission, or you can go to, you know, different agencies. But there's not a one-stop shop right now if the CFPB is not doing the work. So it sets up a weird dynamic.
And you found an expert in Austin, I believe, who's quite familiar with this.
I did. In fact, she has written a very widely distributed opinion column several years ago when the CFPB was in danger of being killed as well.
Oh, this is not the first time then.
Yeah, this, like I said, it's made some powerful enemies over the
wow.
years. So we got Angela Litwin, the professor. She's the Charles Sapp Chair in Banking, Financial, Commercial, and Corporate Law at UT Austin. So she knows this stuff backwards and forwards. And we got her on the line to just explain, because, you know, people hear Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and it's like
yawn.
Snoozer, you
yeah.
know, and they may not realize what impact this could be having on their own lives.
Hey, y'all, this is where Texas politics gets interesting for another smart conversation on Eolitics.
Professor Litwin, thanks so much for being with us here to talk about this.
My pleasure.
This is one of those things, I think we've been seeing it in the headlines lately. You hear CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and by the time I got all that out of my mouth, people's eyes glaze over, and it just sounds like one of those agency things, and they've heard of it, kind of. They don't really totally know what it does. They just know that it's involved with some stuff going on with the Trump administration right now. People may not realize that this agency has actually affected them.
Yes, it almost certainly has. It's affected so many just individual people. The first thing to know about the CFPB is it's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and consumers is all of us, right? That's us when we go buy things on credit, when we use our credit cards, when we work with our savings account, when somebody runs our credit report, we are a consumer, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is there to protect us from financial companies when they try to cheat us or overcharge us or what have you.
Because, you know, when you're a consumer out there, you know, floating around in the real world, you're up against some pretty sophisticated actors. And we're talking about, you know, the big banks, big financial firms, et cetera. And not that, you know, by default, they're doing anything wrong to you, but they have their own interests. And sometimes those interests do not line up with your interests as a consumer. And then there are people out there who do mean you harm, the scammers and so forth. And this bureau sort of took on all of those things.
Took on all of that. I mean, to give you an example, right, I think for a lot of large companies, it's just easier to cut corners, and even if it harms consumers, you know, so take credit reporting agencies, right? Those are the agencies like Equifax and TransUnion that run our credit reports. And, you know, these days your credit report gets run when you apply for a job, when you apply for housing, you know, especially when you get a credit card or a mortgage, right? And our reports are often full of errors. And the process that they had for years, for decades, of correcting those errors was completely automated. It didn't include documentation, even though consumers are encouraged to submit it. They didn't even have a process for forwarding documentation when they did their investigations.
So how did you fight it if there was something on your credit report that was wrong? How do you deal with that?
It was impossible to fight.
And that's pre-CFPB, that it was impossible.
Pre-CFPB. It was impossible to fight because, you know, with the banks, at least we're their customers. With the credit reporting agencies, we're not their customers. The banks are their customers, or the employers, or the landlords, not us. And so they had very little incentive to try to fix things. And the CFPB has just brought action after action. I'll tell you, about 80% of complaints that people file with the CFPB are about credit reporting agencies.
A lot of credit reports have problems.
Yeah, just this past January, The CFPB brought more actions against Equifax and Experian, saying, okay, you are not forwarding consumer documentation. You are not conducting investigations when people dispute things. You're using a bad formula to calculate people's credit scores. Hmm. And those have effects on everybody.
So this bureau had the ability not only to respond to complaints, and we're going to get into those complaints here in just a moment and talk about how many Texans have been filing over the years, which has it's exploded. Yes. But not only could they take on consumer complaints, they could also do enforcement actions. And you were just referring to that there,
they
where they would
enforcement
individually
actions.
Go out and take on entities, even without somebody necessarily filing a complaint. It didn't have to be based on a complaint.
It didn't. Complaints are part of what they look at, but they also have this power that no consumer protection group has ever had before called supervision, where they can go into the banks and look in detail at their practices, look at the complaints that we submitted to the banks directly, and look at what's happening and find all kinds of illegal practices. One great example, you asked me to think about, like, what would the world be like without the CFPB? And, you know, part of the answer is just lawlessness. The one great example is there's these things called credit card add-on products, where credit cards try to sell you insurance in case you get disabled later, or they sell you like credit report monitoring. And early on, the CFPB discovered that just about every major credit card issuer was running these in a fraudulent way. They were signing people up without their consent. They were telling people, we can't give you the terms until you sign up. They were refusing to let people cancel. And every major bank was involved in this, like Citibank, Capital One, American Express, Discover, and even some minor banks, like you name it, everyone was doing this. And the CFPB brought lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. And it got so bad that it eventually told two banks they could not market these products until they submitted plans showing they could do it without fraud. And so,
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you, I noticed that when you're talking about the CFPB, you know, maybe you're more hopeful than I am, you know, just because, you know, I see things through a news prism and you sort of see where this is going. I've been talking about them in past tense since we started this conversation. You're talking about them in present tense. Elon Musk, of course, who is running the what's being called the Department of Government Efficiency in the Trump administration and cutting, you know, budgets and agencies in some cases, tweeted out the other day that he just said CFPB RIP. The agency has very much been put on ice. It's been hanging in limbo. I think, you know, I've just been, you know, inadvertently here referring to it in past tense. It is not over with. Congress would have to be the one to get rid of the agency.
Right.
But what are your thoughts about that? Do you have any hope at this point that the CFPB continues on?
I mean, we have to have hope, right? Until Congress actually tries to take action, you know, what they're doing. I'm not an expert in administrative law, but what they're doing of the work stoppage, it's, you know, it's terrible. I gave you that example of that the CFPB just brought actions against those credit reporting agencies for not doing investigations. Like, what do you think is going to happen to those actions? They're going to stop doing investigations again, right? Mm-hmm. Immediately, starting, you know, last week when that stop work order went out. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the union of the government workers is suing. We'll see what happens with the lawsuits. Unless they shut it down with statute, it can revive again during another administration. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
In the meantime, though, okay, let's say it goes away, even if it's temporarily, you know, for a couple of years, whatever. Is this something that affects me or you or everyone? I mean, like, what if I think, well, you know, the CFPB hasn't done anything for me. I haven't filed any complaints and I'm not dealing with that. Does it affect me?
Yeah, it could have affected you in ways you don't know, right? The CFPB has brought lawsuits, you know, for example, for a bank not basically cheating consumers out of $2 billion of savings account interest. You wouldn't know if your bank hadn't been giving you the best rate on savings account, right? They told you it was going to be a certain rate and it ended up being less. But you might, most people don't notice those things. It's only when the CFPB goes and looks at it. Or another thing, the CFPB is fining another bank for not giving people enough credit card rewards. You wouldn't necessarily notice if you weren't getting all the credit card rewards you were supposed to be getting. And, you know, that's $2 billion worth of credit card rewards and misused consumer information was another part of that. We don't even know when our information is being misused by companies.
And they even dealt with, sorry to interrupt, they even dealt with those prepaid cards. And I've been through this where you go to use the prepaid card, you know, like somebody gives you a gift card, you go to use it the first time and there's no value on it because there's been some fraud associated with it or it's been used before.
Right.
And they even dealt with that. And in a lot of cases, people saw relief that was monetary from, you know, one of these banks, one of these card issuers.
Yeah, I mean, the CFPB has given back, let me get
it. I have it in front of me if you don't.
Yeah, I have it. Hold on. $19.7 billion to consumers.
Wow.
In refunds and canceled debt and that kind of thing. So a lot of times you've been harmed, but you've been harmed in a way that you don't even know, right? Like you wouldn't get all your credit card rewards or something like that. And the Bureau is the one that finds that out. But also,
that's huge though. When you, I mean, let's look at that number. That's a big number. $19.7 billion returned to consumers. And this is just since 2011 when this agency came into existence. So that's a ton of money going back to people who filed complaints and had issues. It says 195 million people have been eligible for that relief. And on top of that, the agency has brought in $5 billion in civil penalties. That's when they go after some of these big companies. That is a lot of money being brought back in and distributed straight to consumers who are having issues and in a pretty short period of time.
Yeah, it's insanely effective. And the thing to remember, even the money that goes into the civil penalty fund, that doesn't go to the agency. That money gets used for two things. It gets used for one, if there's cases where the CFPB finds consumers are harmed, but isn't able to get money out of the company for one reason or another, they can use the civil penalty fund to compensate those consumers who were harmed, but the CFPB couldn't get the, you know, couldn't win the lawsuit or couldn't get the company to pay up. The other thing that it gets used for is financial literacy education. Like the CFPB also has a huge educational arm where millions of consumers, I think 39 million consumers, have used this educational materials in the past 2 years.
I'll tell you what, I do a whole series of reports every week under a banner called Right on the Money. And I've used it on many occasions because it is a great, is a great resource for a lot of educational material about finance.
Yes.
And it's put in such a way that it's meant for regular readers
Even
to understand
regular
what they're
people.
Saying.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and I'll tell you what else I've done in some of those reports. I have referred people to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau if they want to seek relief for something or file a complaint for something. But I'll tell you, one of the most recent ones that I did had to do with something that may have affected a lot of people who are watching this or listening to this right now, and that is medical debt. It was the CFPB that recently made it to where your medical debt could no longer appear on your credit report, and this affects a huge number of people. They estimate 15 million people affected by this with a combined $49 billion in late medical bills, because what they were saying there is, you know, if you get sick or if I get sick or if most people get sick or an emergency happens, you rush in, you got to get it taken care of. It's not something you planned for. And you get this bill that's just through the roof for that. Well, you know, if you can't pay it immediately, that's going onto your credit report and it's keeping you from being able to borrow, you know, as effectively. It might, you know, prevent you from getting jobs or housing, et cetera. And this raised the credit scores of a lot of people recently when they removed that from credit reports.
Well, they are trying to. They finalized a rule on it, and then now they're shut down. And I don't know if they're going to be able to enforce the rule or if Congress is going to get rid of the rule. They previously were able to get a rule where medical debt under $500 was not allowed. And now the newest rule is no medical debt at all. And the thing is, medical debt, when you look at lenders and employers and landlords use credit reports to see, are you going to be able to pay your bills? Are you fiscally responsible, et cetera? Medical debt is not nearly as predictive of how well you're going to pay your bills in the future as, like credit card debt, for example.
Right, because you didn't intend to rack it up.
Because you didn't intend to rack it up. It was
Yeah.
just, bad circumstances.
And it racks up quickly.
And it racks up quickly.
Professor Litwin, the reason I thought to reach out to you when talking about this is A, I think that again, a lot of us are sort of unaware of what this
Yeah.
agency does, but we're seeing it in the headlines all over the place. So this is good for just education. But also because you wrote this opinion piece back in 2017. And it appeared in several places, including the Dallas Morning News, in which you called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau a runaway success. You told readers, this works for ordinary people every single day, and it's the billionaires who want to use your elected representatives to stop it.
Yep.
I read that line, and again, this is something you wrote in 2017. And here we are today in 2025, and obviously the agency is still working for ordinary people every day. And indeed, it is a billionaire, Elon Musk, who is helping to push this to go away. It's sort of like history repeated. But this agency, though, didn't it from the very beginning make some pretty powerful enemies?
It did. I mean, that's the thing, is if you are working for ordinary people against big banks, big credit reporting agencies, really moneyed companies, they're not used to losing, right? They're not used to somebody sticking up for the little guy. Right. The CFPB is basically like our David fighting all these Goliaths. And yeah, you're going to make powerful enemies. And that's why the CFPB is in the crosshairs, is that large financial institutions would rather be able to cheat us out of credit card rewards or savings account interest than be sued for it. Every dollar that goes back to a consumer is a dollar that's come out of the pockets of a major financial institution, and they would rather keep that money, right? And so the
Yeah.
CFPB has always been in the crosshairs, but that's because it's doing good work for ordinary people.
It has generally not been liked, I guess, by Republican politicians more so. It's been a darling of Democrats over the years. It started under former President Obama. People might look at that and go, well, it was partisan. It's a partisan thing. It shouldn't have been.
It
But the
wasn't
agency
partisan.
itself was the, can you speak about the agency itself?
I can speak about the agency itself. Like, if you take you back to the financial crisis of 2008, right? A lot of the reason it happened was because of failure of consumer protection, that consumers were sold homes that they couldn't afford. And all of a sudden, everybody, the tide came in and everybody was swimming naked, as Warren Buffett says, right? That consumers had been sold way too much housing that they couldn't afford, and
People
the
were
economy started
underwater
to crash.
on
They
their
were
houses.
underwater,
Yeah.
right? So the first thing that happened was that both parties, and this was completely bipartisan, decided to bail out the banks to prevent the economy from crashing, right? And that made sense because it prevented the economy from crashing, but it was a big problem because we're giving billions of dollars to the banks when ordinary people are suffering. The CFPB is the response to helping ordinary people. It's sort of the counterpart on the other side of it. As people said, we can't just give all this money to the banks and not help out ordinary people. The CFPB is the response for ordinary people. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was no watchdog in the time leading the bubble leading up to the financial crisis, and that was a large part of the problem. And so the CFPB is the natural response to what can we do to put a watchdog in place.
Let's talk a little bit about Texas specifically here, because the numbers have really gone up over the years. So let me lay out the timeline here, starting in 2011 and going until 2017. So in like those first 6 years or so, just here in Texas, there were about 93,000 complaints that were handled by the CFPB. So if you divide that out by six, it doesn't seem like it's really that much. 2017, the state breakdown on the numbers is kind of murky there. Then we get to 2018, 31,000 complaints. 2019, 32,000. 2020, 57,000. 2021, 111,000. That was the highest in the U.S. that year from Texas, complaints from Texas. Then we go from 111,000 in 2021 to 158,000 in 2022, when we were second only to Florida. And then finally, the last numbers we have were from 2023. We went from 158,000 to 200,000 complaints coming from Texas in 2023. And again, that was second only to Florida. That one raised some questions for me because, you know, again, in those last several years there, Texas had either the highest number of complaints going to the CFPB looking for assistance, or the second highest right behind Florida. Usually when we're second for something in this country, since we're the second biggest state, it's behind California. Why is it that we're behind Florida in this case? Does California just have other protections in place and different avenues?
California has, in the last few years, California just started its own state-level Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that's doing a lot of work and filling in some of the gaps. You know, I also think, and this, I think this was quoted in that last article of mine that you read, that a third of Texans have had a debt collection action against them, right? And I think as more and more people have realized that you can file a complaint and the CFPB will get the company to respond to you usually in 15 days, that you can actually get a response and sometimes restitution, you know, which is them refunding you for the money that they shouldn't have been charging you. In 15 days, that I think more and more people just realize this is effective.
Yeah, this is one of those few ways, it seems, too, that you can compel a company to answer you. If you've ever fought with, you know, any company out there, but especially when you're fighting over money and there's a discrepancy or there's a discrepancy over credit, it is, first of all, really hard to get a person. And secondly, even if you do, it's, you know, it's David versus Goliath here, as I think you said earlier. You know, this was a way that if you can't afford to have a team of attorneys on retainer to fight your battles for you, this was a way for you to go, okay, you're not going to play ball with me. Now I can go to these people, file a quick complaint, and you are now compelled to answer me and to investigate this and possibly to give me relief.
Yeah, right. It's and people have just realized that you can do this. And the CFPB also forces company to respond to complaints. Like if I complain directly to, you know, JP Morgan Chase, or I complain directly to Bank of America, the CFPB also forces those companies to respond to our complaints to them. So, you know, it's just so much more accountability. I mean, and that's just stopped right now.
Let me ask you this, because you touched on California creating its own sort of state level CFPB. And so that gets at another question that I had for you about places like Texas. If the National Consumer Financial Protection Bureau goes away, do you feel it more in a place like Texas than you do in a place like California, where they've got sort of their own system for still handling these complaints?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, right?
So we're more likely to feel that here.
We are, right? We're more likely to feel it because we don't have like a state level regulator stepping in.
I want to ask you, you know, this is all, you know, predicated on the fact that, you know, the Trump administration is saying that, well, you know, it just it's, you know, not doing, these different agencies are not doing the right things, or they're, you know, they've, you know, shut down a couple of them here. You know, they're, it's a liberal agenda, or there's fraud involved. I do want to ask, this is a bureaucracy. The CFPB is part of that big bureaucracy. Do you think, though, that there may have been things that could have stood some reform at the CFPB? I mean, no place is perfect.
Nothing is perfect, right? I'm sure that is true. I don't have the details on what they would be, because I'm not, you know, sort of internal to the CFPB, but I'm sure that is true because it's true of everything. But I feel like if Trump and Musk looked at what it was doing, you know, if you're returning almost $20 billion to ordinary people, you've got to be doing something right. So I'm sure there were things that could have been done better in various places. It was a learning process, but it's a million times better than what we had before. I mean, before the CFPB, there were a bunch of banking regulators who were able to handle consumer protection. And basically, banks got to choose which one they wanted to regulate them. So they all started competing to get the banks and financial institutions to sign up with them. And one of the ways they competed was on not protecting consumers. Like, come here, we'll offer you even lax consumer protection. The Office of the Comptroller of Currency was one of them. And it used to, when people would sue banks, it would intervene on the lawsuit on the side of the banks. To give you an example, right? So nobody is perfect, but this is a unique agency, right? Like Elon Musk, one of his tweets said, delete the CFPB, you know, stop duplicative agencies. It's the only one doing what it is doing.
I wanted to get your thoughts, your expert opinion on this, because we've seen some red flags raised because Elon Musk his company recently, you know, talked about setting up a payment system through X, the social Right. media platform. That payment system would have been something that would have been regulated by the CFPB. There was a report from ABC News that, you know, his team would now have access to complaints or investigations or regulatory oversight of some of his competitors, that raises some uncomfortable questions. What's your thought about that?
Questions. Yeah. So a lot of the CFPB's work, and the reason why I can't say, oh, they could have done better at this, they could have done better at that, is a lot of the work I talked about is supervision, where they go into banks and learn about their practices. That has to be confidential because they're getting competitive information. So now if Elon Musk comes in and can see what's happening at the competitors of his payment system, that's just completely illegal and completely defeats the purpose of how this is working. I should have emphasized this. One of the CFPB's missions is to promote fair competition. Right? Because if you're a company, like if you're a bank who wants to do things right by your customers and there's no watchdog in place, you can't, because the other banks are going to outcompete you by cutting corners. So banks are forced to cut corners to get customers by competition. And it's so having a group like the CFPB there promotes fair competition and enables banks that want to do the right thing to be able to do the right thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad that goes on out there. Just in 2023, the Bureau received 1.3 million complaints nationally. They said that companies responded to those complaints 99.8% of the time because the CFPB sent those complaints to them. And again, they could compel those answers. Specifically, though, there are populations like military and older consumers, and the CFPB treated them a little bit differently and sort of put them aside in a separate bucket and tracked them. Just in 2023, about 85,000 complaints came from people who, you know, identified themselves as service members or veterans or a veteran's family. And 332,000 complaints came from older consumers. Our older consumers, I mean, that was 20% of all the complaints. Yeah. Are older consumers the ones we need to worry about the most here, if there isn't such a bureau anymore? Like if you have an elderly parent, for example, do you need to think, well, you know, now I'm going to have to step in and be more of a watchdog as to what's going on?
Yeah, right. That's a really great point, right? Is even if people themselves aren't affected, their parents might be affected. You know, elderly people are victims to financial scams a lot of the time. There's a lot of scammers that particularly try to prey on elderly people because they're not as sophisticated and maybe, you know, they don't use, you know, online banking or don't use banking on their cell phone. And so they call up and try to, you know, get them to do something through Venmo or through Zelle. And it's much easier to take advantage of somebody who's less sophisticated. So that's absolutely right. So even if it's not you, it could be your parents. And yes, we all should be more vigilant and looking out for our parents' financial transactions at this point.
Professor Litwin, you have quite a pedigree there at UT Austin and Harvard and so forth, and I know that your circles are a lot more highbrow probably than mine
Well, I
are.
doubt
And
that.
I would imagine you've probably been on the phone, you've been talking with others who are, you know, experts in the financial world. What are they saying right now?
Things are scary, right? I mean, we're looking at turning back the clock to what things were like in 2007 when mortgage companies regularly gave consumers loans they couldn't afford. And when the loans failed, you couldn't get anybody on the phone. That was the worst part of it, is consumers would try to get, you know, modifications and you couldn't even talk to anybody. And so I don't think you have to have special credentials to realize how scary this is.
Yeah, because they deal with everything, mortgages, car loans, debt collection, credit cards, credit reporting, bank
Yeah.
accounts.
And I do want to, oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, stop me if any of these sound familiar, if you're listening or watching. If you've had problems with your credit report, if you've had fraudulent activity, identity theft, can't reach a representative when you're trying to fix these things, attempts to collect payment, debt that they say you owe that you don't owe,
Don't owe, yep.
billing disputes, problems that occur when you try to go pay and you can't pay through the app or the website, prepaid gift cards that, you know, don't have any balance on them, even though you're using them for the first time. I mean, this affects a lot of people, and it's going to affect a lot of people because I'll close with this. The Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, was asked, you know, okay, well, what happens if this goes away? And he says there's no other agency that is tasked with consumer protection enforcement.
There's
This is
not.
it.
This is it. This is it, right? And you were right to highlight service members and the elderly, people who are the most vulnerable. The CFPB has a special mission to protect service members from financial fraud. And everybody's going to be at risk.
So, if you have to give people one takeaway piece of advice, you know, again, as this bureau hangs in the balance right now, we don't know if it survives or not. What is the advice you give people right now?
Well, one piece of advice is to let your legislatures know this is not a normal agency. This is an agency that works for the little guy, that works for all of us. And getting rid of it would be a big mistake. In terms of advice, just to, you know, in some ways, there's not advice because banks can cheat you with, you know, very easily, and there's not much you can do about it. But just be more protective about your finances, review your accounts more often, look out for your parents' accounts, look out for your kids, you know, maybe even get a credit freeze. Like, just be much more careful now that there's not a watchdog on guard
That's some good
protecting
advice
us.
because you know, it may be every person for themselves, you know, if something like this goes away. Thank you so much, Professor Litwin, for taking the time here. I thought this was an interesting one just because, again, we keep seeing this pop up in headlines right now. And I know
Yeah.
that there's probably quite a few people who are like, what does that do again? I know I've
Yeah,
heard of it.
people don't understand, right? So I'm very, thank you for having me because I want people to understand this is an agency that works for you.
Thank you. This was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Click subscribe and get Eolitics every week. Eolitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.